Start from the beginning.
Yeah, Rishi
Ledabrakan. Rishi Ledabrakan al Yesodos Ravim Be'emunos Gedolei Ha'erech Ma'od.
Yeah, so I saw to speak here about Yesodos, many Yesodos in Emunos. What do you mean in Emunos? Deos.
But not that kind of Deos.
Then they're very valuable, extremely valuable.
Okay.
Okay.
Da shebali haTorah nechleku deosehem b'inyan haosher sheyasi ga'adam b'kiyum hamitzvos halalu asher tivano Hashem behem aydei Moshe Rabbeinu. Uvenakama asher tivoinu ba'avreinu aleihem.
So there are. You should know that the Baalei haTorah. It's interesting who he means by that, Baalei haTorah. He means, apparently, he means observant Jews. Right? Observant Jews. They argue, they have differences of opinion with regard to the reward for the good that a man attains in keeping these mitzvos. And that we were commanded by Hashem through Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the nekama that will come for violating them. Okay, so basically the schar mitzvos and the schar and onesh with regard to mitzvah. Right, there's a difference of opinion in that matter.
Machlokos rabos ma'od kvi shino isichlehem.
Okay, so he's not so. So Ram says that what? That there are many opinions according to the differences of their foolishness. So there's not opinions of. You can have a lot of opinions because there's a lot of foolishness. This type of area is saying that it's not opinions based on intelligence. It's based on their certain
mistakes. Gamlo timtza bo devarim sidurim laaf echad ela beirbuv rav.
Interesting. So he says the big mix-up, a lot of mistakes in these thoughts, until it's impossible. Until it's possible that you can't find, right, a person who it's clear by, and also you can't find things that are orderly. Even to one, rather in a great jumble.
I'll say.
So what is the?
Yeah.
So what are the two? What are the two problems you're saying? So in other words, it would seem he means by the first one, shelo timotze klal adam shenis barer etzlo inyan zeh.
You're saying the idea itself.
Right. So mishmash to the extent, that's what it means, like Ad Shefsha, right? To the extent that no one is clear on it, right?
Okay, and so what's Loti Motzi Bo Dvarim Sidurim?
I mean, would that refer to how to go about thinking about this area? Or, like, meaning, I would assume there's a certain way to approach thinking about it.
Okay, I just need a clearer idea of the two different problems here. You're saying you're not going to find, it's such a shibush. Now these two things would seem to be the extent of the shibush, right? One is not, you're not going to find anybody that it's nitzparer to, and you're not going to have anybody who has dvarim sidurim.
I mean, a person. I mean, like in Gemara, I guess a person can, you know, can come up with a descriptive or an unclear svara.
Right.
But he knows. You know, I mean, he's familiar with the methods of thinking, or with how to approach, you know, how to approach an area. Okay. And then you have people who just completely don't know what they're doing when they approach the area, and they just, you know, Okay. They wouldn't know a clear idea if you know.
So when you're saying that it's not the that's not Siddurim?
That's not Siddurim. Yeah.
If you think of a progress of thought, you go from facts to abstract thought to like speculation. It seems like people are so confused about this, they don't even know where the ground where they're speculating, whether they're in facts. It's just people don't know. They're totally lost.
Okay. Yeah, I think this bara etzlo inyan zeh means it would seem to be like this. In other words, there's two things you can have. Why are you so low? There are two things over here. Throws me off. You know what I'm saying? There's two things you can have. A person. No, don't change. You can have a person who is. You can have someone. Sometimes you can have that the inyan itself. The inyan is clear. Like I can know the area of knowledge. You can have a good idea of the area of knowledge and how it fits in and the type of knowledge that it is and the type of ideas that are there. But you might not know the specifics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can know the inyan. I can know the proper. At least I can know the inyan of the thing. So you're saying that's the first thing. They don't even know what the proper framework of the thing is. They don't understand. The inyan is not clear to them. Like, where is this exist? What type of an idea am I even looking for? They don't even have the right approach to the area. You understand what I'm saying? A guy could be two people could not know the proper medical the exact medical. Cure, but one guy could be a doctor that's trained in medicine. Another one could be a shaman. So both of them might not know the particular thing, but one guy at least knows the inyan that the area lies in. He knows what type of a thing to be looking for. Mm-hmm. You don't say just because two people don't have the answer, they're equal, right? At least one guy could know the inyan. He knows I'm looking for this type of a disease. I'm going to be looking for some sort of cure along these lines. He knows the inyan. But he's saying over here, they don't even know what area this is. They don't know what place they don't really understand the true place of Sechar V'Onesh. They don't understand what type of a thing is it. Is it like a checks and demerits? And they don't know the whole inyan is unclear to them. Right, they're not in the right inyan. The second thing is, he's saying, okay, but then even with that, even if the guy doesn't have the inyan right, at least he can have some consistent idea. In the wrong, he can be in the wrong inyan, but he can at least have a consistent idea that works out in some sort of order. You know what I mean, you might be in the wrong inyan, but like at least his methodology of thinking is correct, and he. And he has a rational system worked out. He might be off, but at least he can have a rational system. He's saying you don't have either one of these. You don't have people. They don't even know what the inyan is, and their whole method of thinking about it is a completely inconsistent kind of a thing. And you can have a guy who doesn't know the inyan, but at least has a good mind, and he's working on it, and he develops some idea. Or he might have been wrong about the inyan, but at least he has at least he's approaching it rationally. He's saying that this is all the fee what? Kafi shidoi sichleihem. Meaning to say that the foolishness over here leads them into crazy types of areas and promotes crazy types of thinking. I mean, you can be in the wrong area and have a good type of thinking. But here he's saying they're in the wrong area. They're not even in the right area. And their type of thinking about it is crazy. That's how far off they are in this area. Right? And that's why you'll see when he goes through the different theories, they're not consistent. He's not really trying to show a real... Each theory, each of the five ideas of Olam Haba, of the Sechar and the Onesh, don't really work out very well. I mean, there are questions, but it doesn't bother these people. It's kifi sichleihem. They just something draws them this way, something draws them that way. It's not like a real thought out methodical theory. It's just this idea makes them interested and that idea doesn't make them interested. So they take this and they forget about that. You can't ask Kasha, well, what about the... what is this sheet? How does this sheet, first sheet, answer the fifth sheet? It's just not a... it's not that type of an area. It's like type of area people think. There's certain areas people say, whatever you believe is good for you. You know what I mean? You just can't ask questions on those types of theories. Because they're not... They're saying it's just the type of thing that whatever makes you feel good about it, is that's what it is. Yeah?
Does that work? Like, say, whole stuff, like, you know, like, irrational thinking here?
Yeah.
Like, in other areas, it's different, though? Like, I'm just confused.
Well, seichel is a funny word. It means... sichlus is not good. Seichel is good. Okay.
Good.
So one group thinks that what's the good is
Gan Eden.
So that's a place. What do you do in Gan Eden? You can eat and drink without any physical exertion. Okay. So it's the pleasures, it's the benefits of the guf without any of the problems of the guf.
Okay,
so you have beautiful homes, you have beautiful linens, bedding, you have get rivers of wine, and you have fragrances. You can keep going with this class of things. Okay. So that's the final osha. That's the final reward. Okay.
Ushanakama gehinam. Ushumakam lohit esh shabon nisrafos hakufos umisanimbo bne adam bemine inuyim shiarech sipuram.
And what is the punishment? What is the revenge? That's Gehinnom. Right? Either going to Gan Eden or to Gehinnom. And what's in Gehinnom? That's where the fires, the burning fires, consume the bodies, and they torture them, all different types of torture, and there are lots of tales about that.
When he says bodies here, then does he mean that these people actually think that their physical body goes?
Yeah, I think so. No, you can't ask Kasha, how does your physical body go?
Not
Kasha.
Okay. Is he saying reward and punishment here? Is just like simply like when you die, you're judged apparently whether whether you are overall punished or overall rewarded, or is it just?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he's not getting into that. He's saying there's definitely a good and a bad. How is it meted out? Do you have to go to Gehinnom for a few minutes, or whatever? That's details. Right. But the framework of their he's working on their framework. What's the framework of their idea of schar v'onesh? What is the schar and what is the onesh? What does each guy deserve? Can a guy get half and half? Can a guy get a good house without the silk beds? I mean, you know, I don't know. But
I mean, these people probably wouldn't think of that anyway, because if you think you're going to Gan Eden, then you're getting the best of.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be extremes, right?
with an ice maker. Yeah.
V'lomdim anshe kazu al deazu b'ma'amarim rabim medivre chachamim aleihem shalom shemat'imim l'chora l'ta'nasam kulam o rubam.
So their source, where do they learn these things from? They learn them from statements of the chachamim aleihem shalom that agree apparently with their claims, all or most. Even they, what does it mean, Rubam? It doesn't bother them that there are other Mamori Chazal that don't seem to go along. That doesn't bother them. They're going to latch onto the ones that attract them. The other ones, I don't know. But it's not like they're interested in really finding out the truth. They're interested in getting into this fantasy that they have, and they're very happy to latch on certain Chazal that indicate that. Right? Not gonna bother them, the other ones, because they're not interested in. Their goal is not to know what do Chazal really hold about this. Their goal is to placate themselves, from some source. Okay, but anyway, so they are very. I don't really want to spend too much time trying to define these different things, but I guess it'd be interesting if we could just sort of give a quick definition to what the main motivation is in these five different things.
This is like classic.
This is classic. Well, there's two things here. I mean, you don't know all the five, but I'll just give you a quick from seeing a little later. There's two factors of here, it would seem. Keep it in mind. Maybe I'm wrong. That one is that it's Gan Eden, means it is some place here on earth. In other words, when you die, there's a certain place here that you find yourself in. Okay, and it's basically pleasures of the guf, and Gehenna is another place here. They exist side by side. This world and our world and Gan Eden and Gehenna. Right? Okay, it's not an end of days theory. Mm-hmm. It's an after you die, there's a place on somewhere around here that's Gan Eden you go to, or you go to Ganem, and then there's either great physical pleasure or great physical pain.
With or without your physical body?
With your physical body. I mean, Muslims are very similar to belief to this. Right? The rivers of wine. That's what they believe. I don't know how much you know. You hear a lot of these. It's hard to know what's fact and what's fiction. Especially when you hear people talk about Judaism, makes you seriously doubt everything you hear about other religions. When you see how wrong people are about what they say about Judaism, you wonder if they're equally wrong when they're talking about other things. But they used to say, like, if they would bury, if a Muslim would get buried in pig or something, or if he were castrated, then he would not be able to go to get those physical pleasures.
That's stupid.
Anyway, so some way they held that the physical body, but they blow themselves up, so apparently the body's not that important. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to try to work out there. It's not important. They don't have a consensus. That's exactly what the Rambam was trying to say in the beginning. There's not Siddurim. They don't have consistent opinions. They just have certain psychological trends.
They pick and choose.
Yeah. And this is a strong psychological trend to believe that there's a place of immense physical pleasure or immense physical pain. And it's not going to work out. It's not a kasha how exactly it works out. Okay, good. That's one cut.
V'kat shnia ma'amina v'choshevas sheha'osher ha'miyuchal himimos mashiach mehera yigale.
Different idea. Now, what's the ultimate reward is Yimosa Mashiach. Okay? So that's different than Gan Eden. Different idea than Gan Eden. That's the whole world is going to be changed over.
What does it mean, the ultimate good? Does that mean what will happen in the end? Or what?
That's just what they're looking for.
It's a good
for.
Question. It means what is your reward for keeping the Torah?
In the end.
Well, I mean, what happens to the people who died before Mashiach came? Like, where's their reward? Is that what you mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean, according to the Shita, it's a good question according to the Shita. I guess they would have to... it's a good question. Go ahead. Let's see.
V'shavoso hazman yihyu b'nei adam kulam malachim tamim.
I don't know what he means by exactly. They're going to be kings forever?
V'yigdlu gufo sehem v'yibanu es kol ha'olam kulu l'netach.
Their body's going to become bigger, and they're going to build the world, the whole world is an eternal thing. It's going to be an eternal physical existence here.
Yeah, it fixes all the problems, the body injuries. And
right.
V'osho Mashiach lafi dimyonam, yichya k'nitzchiyus ha-borei yisromam shavacho.
And that Mashiach is going to live forever, like the borei.
Why does he have to say like the Bore? I mean, that's.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's quoting. I mean, he keeps quoting. I don't know if it's Sukim or what's Nedfus?
No, Nedfus means the print. The print. The older, the different editions. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, so Ushaboso Azman.
A lot of older editions.
Ushaboso Azman, Tatsmiach Arts, Begadim, Arugim, Velechem Afui, Vaharamin Hanim Naos Kaela.
So, and then the earth is going to sprout forth clothing, already made clothing, and already baked bread, and other impossibilities. Many other impossibilities like this. Cars will grow on trees, all kinds of things will grow on trees. Okay?
So,
See, that's interesting. See, they and but this no is the Gan Eden Gehenim guys. So since now it's interesting that they had a Gan Eden. When you have the Gan Eden, you have to have a Gehenim. But when you go with the Yemos Mashiach, the onus is just that you're not there. Mm-hmm. It seems like pretty. It's a very Wild, different yeah. idea of the Nekama. Good.
וגם הם לומדים על כך במאמרים רבים המצויים בדברי חכמים ובפסוקים מן המקרא המתאימים פי שתיהם לטענתם או מקצתה.
So they also get things from Chazal, right? But they also have psukim now. The other guys didn't have any psukim. The other guys didn't have any psukim. This group does. So what is their, what attracts them? What's attracting them? What's attracting them?
The Borak comment is pretty interesting. It seems
which
like
one? Which one?
The fact that they're
eternal.
Eternal light, the Borak. Meaning that seems to be what they're
is that,
going
after. Is that them or that's just the Mashiach?
That Mashiach. I don't know what they mean by that. They say and that it's hard to know exactly what he means by these groups also. Right. He's saying and that Mashiach will live forever.
Afidim Yonam.
That Mashiach, according to their opinion. Will live forever.
Interesting.
Right? So he's saying it's not a Gan Eden thing. It's not a Gan Eden thing. They're not really focusing on tremendous bodily pleasure. Doesn't sound like they're as focused on that.
What are they getting at all?
Yeah, what are they getting exactly?
They're just getting the same stuff, just through miraculous means.
Immortality is the big thing. They're getting immortality.
They're getting an immortality.
And big bodies.
No, but I think that's the whole thing. It's basically, it doesn't talk about serving God or...
No, nobody here...
Obviously, but I'm just saying, I think it has to do with taking God out of the picture. Now they're the eternal beings and...
But one thing that this one has, the other one doesn't, is what?
Mashiach,
but what else? One thing this group has, the other one doesn't.
No Ganim.
That's true.
Nimnos.
No, he doesn't mention them. Yeah, the Nimnos. Right. It has impossible things. So the other one, there's nothing impossible about a river with wine flowing down it. Nothing impossible about having great houses and silk beddings, right? But it's just like everything is there, provided for you. Right here, it's a different thing. There's going to be a certain change of the Gan Eden guys. They believe Gan Eden is there. It's part of the world. It's just a place that has everything there. Right? Nothing impossible about that. There's no Shinoi Teva going on. That's it. It exists now. It's there. If you could get past those Malachim, you'd get in there. You know. But the Mashiach group, this group, is interested in miraculous things that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Baked bread is going to be on the vine.
So what happens after you die, before Mashiach comes?
I don't know. So you apparently go to some waiting. It's a good question. I mean, what does he say about Tchias Mason?
One person.
It's a good question. I really don't know. Yeah.
Like, let's say one person is finally worthy of this, the whole world changes just for that.
No. Now, when this thing's come about, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. See, the second one is Tchias HaMeisim. The third one is Tchias HaMeisim. See, I don't understand. Good, let's see the third one.
The Kasa Shuli Shiz Choshevus Ki Ha'osher HaMiuchal Hu Tchias HaMeisim V'hu Shiyichi Ha'adam Achar Moso V'yachzor Im Mishpachto Krovav Yochal V'yishtev Lo Yamus Od. Alright, so here's the eternity one.
So that's the ones that everyone's all the families are going to get back. The families are going to get back together. And not gonna fight this time around.
I was about to say you get to be with your family all the time.
It is your family.
Hey.
And they're gonna eat and they're gonna drink and then they're gonna have eternal life. Right? Eternal life. But it's essentially social, right? I mean, it's essentially like a social.
Is that the reward or the punishment?
And what's the punishment? Then you're not gonna live. That's the intriguing thing. I don't really understand that. Why they have such a mild nekama, these guys. Right?
You're a lecture of themselves.
Some,
But I mean to say,
mild in terms
not,
of the emotions. I mean,
it's not
it doesn't impact the emotions with fear and, you know, and trembling.
Yeah, it's not like.
Fire and brimstone.
Kind of existence.
Yeah, why didn't the first guys also lack?
Yeah, why didn't the first guys just say, okay,
wine and river and nothing for you?
And what do they do about the Chazal Baganim? They don't. They're not.
No, you get the sense, like you were saying, there's like one emotion, one primary mover towards this certain fantasy, and then...
No, but you're saying, is there something in the first theory that has like a vindictive, I'm not happy if I'm not happy if I'm happy, I also want to know that the bad guys are suffering, and these two guys, these types of emotions don't really care about another person suffering or not?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if you could sort of get something out of that. I don't know exactly what it is, though.
Speculate like a
main
thing, right?
How about the first one that pops in here?
I don't want to reveal too much.
Okay, let's see the fourth one. Okay.
V'kad revi'is choshavis sha'osher shenasi b'kima mitzvos utanuk haguf v'hasigi ha'olam ba'olam hazeh.
So this one is funny also.
Right,
what?
Just
it's
in this world.
Pleasures of the body and things that you attain in this world.
Kagon shefa ha'aretz, v'riboy ha'nechasim, v'habanim, v'orech ha'chaim, v'brios ha'guf, v'habitachon. V'shetihe lanu malchus, v'nihye shalitim al oyvenu.
So, it doesn't mean you can live forever, right? Just you can have long lives. So you're going to have a lot of money, children, long life, health, security.
So this is during your ordinary existence. This
and
is also,
yeah.
Right.
And we're going to be rulers over our enemies. Rulers over our enemies. And what is the nekama?
The nekama asher tavoinu b'mhiru seinu hafech hamatavim ha'ela k'fi she'nachnu bo b'zmaninu zeh zman ha'galus.
Now it's this saying that what? That what is the schar and the onesh? Is basically success, right? Success or failure in this world. That the ultimate schar of keeping the Torah, and these are all the brachos on the klos, right? This is all straight from v'lom demufi machshavasam, the chol hamikros haTorah habrachos haklos. This is awesome. Now they basically are taking the brachos on the klos. The brachos are saying you're gonna have bracha, you're going to have shalom and shalva and long life, you know, the way the brachas describe the a good, happy physical existence. And the klalos, you're going to be oppressed, you're going to be poor, right? All of those things. But there's nothing miraculous at all in this group. It's completely natural.
So what happens when you're dead?
See, that's what he's saying. They don't, that's part of what his criticism is. Let's see a little further. Go ahead.
V'kad ha'chmishis v'him ha'rov, mitzarfim kol ha'dvarim ha'elu kulam. V'omim ki ha'myuchal hu shi'yavo ha'mashiach, v'yichya es ha'mesim, v'yikantu gan Eden, v'yochlu sham v'yishtu, v'yichyu kimei ha'shmaim ha'aretz. Package deal.
The fifth group is eclectic, as they say. They do what? They group, they take all of them.
Right.
And they say, how do you get all of them? They say...
Mashiach will come.
The Mashiach will come. That's number two, right? He'll he'll revive the dead. That's number three. We'll all go into Gan Eden, except for the ones that go to Ganem. And that's number one, right? We'll eat and we'll drink there. That's number four.
Yeah.
And we'll live... meaning natural, naturally.
Wait. He doesn't mean eternally?
Does it mean eternally? I don't know. You mean like the time of the Shema Yavar? I mean, as long as Shema Yavar live, you'll live. You'll live eternally. So, in Gan Eden.
Yeah.
In Gan Eden.
In Gan Eden doesn't happen before.
And what?
Gan Eden doesn't happen before that happened.
They happen after. They happen after. And they happen after. Right? Yeah. See, the other groups, they don't deny Tchias HaMesim. They're not denying Tchias HaMesim, but they're holding
that's
their
value.
That's not an ultimate thing. That's whatever. There'll be a Tchias HaMesim for some purpose. But that's not your final reward. You know, they'll work. The other ones will have to just minimize the other things. I mean, I guess Gan Eden, you don't have to take at all. It's not, there's no psukim like that. No psukim about Gan Eden and Gehenim. Right?
Well, is there any source for any of these things?
Yeah. I mean, there are. Well, he's saying that there are Maimar Chazal for everything. Then there are certain psukim about Mashiach, right? That a lot in the VM. I mean, full of that. And there are psukim also. I mean, the Chazal do darshan. They do darshan that the that there'll be miraculous that what is it? Klei Melas, the pasuk of the darshan over there that. That begadim will grow and pas will grow. Gemara Shabbos talks about that. And then Tchias HaMesim, obviously. And what? And the fourth one is straight from Pesukim. Fourth one is straight from Pesukim.
This is all from the Gemara?
It's fine. The last one he doesn't mention Chazal at all. The last one he just mentions the fourth one. The last full shita. Because that's the brachos in the close. I guess Chazal don't really talk about that as an ultimate thing. Yeah.
When you say that there are sources for some of these things, you mean that like there are sources that these ideas exist, or that this is the idea of reward and punishment? Like such an idea as Mashiach exists versus
right.
Mashiach will come about as your reward for
right. He's clear. He tries. He says that. Yeah. He says that it's support for them. It's a support. They can take those things as support. You know what I mean?
Not that they're really
not saying that they're really expressing those ideas, their ideas truly, but he's saying they can take it and use it as a support for their claim. So they're sort of using it. He calls them misusing it.
There are no like Maimar Chazal that say like,
this is the ultimate reward. No.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
I mean.
No Rishonim or anything.
First of all, he's not saying there are no Maimar Chazal like that. But he's saying that these groups are not really interested in going through a thorough analysis of Chazal and finding out the true thing. Now, there are a lot of Chazal that are very attractive that have these ideas, and these are the ones they latch onto. Right? These people are not authorities. It's more like conventional wisdom. Well, you take a poll of 100 Orthodox Jews and ask them, what's the ultimate reward? Interesting to do, right?
Yeah.
They would probably get very similar answers to this. Now it's going to be the first thing that's going to pop into his head. He's not going to worry about all the detailed problems. You know, like if a guy's going to say Gan Eden, you're not going to say, oh, where's Tchias HaMesim? Alright, Tchias HaMesim will work out somehow, but the main thing is Gan Eden. Yeah.
Enter a thought on the
categories.
It just seems to me that when you're asking about the vindictive aspect of the first one,
right.
It seems like in the first one, in terms of the pleasure, there's a guilt associated with it, and they're trying to like relieve that guilt somehow. That got me thinking with the other ones.
On the other guy's back?
What on the? I guess somehow. I don't know exactly how. I want to explain that more. But it seems that he's identifying certain conflicts, essential conflicts man deals with within his life, and then somehow this. The state of post-life is least of some of these conflicts. So, for example, people have, you know, you have trouble engaging in pleasure because you feel guilty about it.
Right.
So, this is, the first one is the guy who, now pleasure is guilt-free.
Right.
That's basically it. And somehow having some other guy to say, I deserve this, and he didn't, somehow helps that be guilt-free. Right. Second, a third one, especially with the family, like people also have certain conflicts with that, and this like believes that now we're in the state with no conflict. These are not, you know, conflict. It's not a conflictual state. So you have to define more precisely. But it seems that each step, right. Man is escaping from a certain conflict.
Well, I would offer an approach also to this. I think a lot of it has to do with the person's frustrations that they're experiencing in this world. In Olam Hazeh. In other words, if you have people, certain people are personally oppressed by others. To them, and they're actually, you know, some people have very, very difficult lives, and they're not successful financially, and they have a very meager life, and they're put down by others, and they feel degraded by others. And to them, the full reward is that they're going to have all the pleasures that they were deprived of, and those guys who were on top are going to suffer. They're not just happy. You know, it's like a reversal of the frustrations. These ideas of the ultimate reward, I think, a certain approach to it is, it's a certain reversal of your complaints of this world, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a certain feeling of not. Sometimes it's two aspects. It's being deprived of the pleasures. That's one thing, but it's a certain feeling degraded, a certain degradation that you're put through by the wealthy person or by the other person, and you're not fully made whole. You don't really feel like you're fully. You don't feel things are made right until you get the good and he gets punished. Okay? Now, I think that comes about in two aspects, though. Depends on your harchavas hadas. In other words, some people feel it personally and some people feel it nationally. Now, the first guy, he feels it personally. And for him, it's that he's going to have tremendous pleasures. He's going to be the guy in the mansion. And those other guys, who were probably in the mansions, are going to be in the pits of hell. That's when he's going to be smiling and happy. It's two things. He's going to have to have. He's going to have to feel that. Because the pleasure, the being deprived of the pleasure really is really also a... psychological. It's really a. I'm not sure what the word. The only word I can think of is a degradation. It's two things. It's the pleasure and the affront. And unless both of them are reversed, it's not full. He's got to get those pleasures and be able to put down the oppressor. Yeah.
I don't know if this is like the topic of this year totally, but like it's not exactly a full reversal. Like, wouldn't the guy be better off to put them in his old position and then they kind of kowtow to him? And it's why just the actual punishment.
Right.
It seems the better punishment would be the more precise one, the complete.
Right.
But this is like the lightning rod. It's like super. All the pleasures are better. He doesn't want just to be in the same state. He wants everything now. And for the guy he hates, too, he gets all the bad stuff, not just his personal state.
Right. See, I agree, but let's think about it. Keep that question open for a minute. I think then there is the other one that doesn't feel it necessarily personally, but he feels it nationally. That's really the fourth one, mm-hmm. right? That the Jews are not going to be oppressed anymore. And the Jews are going to be the top, and all those other nations are going to serve us. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you'll be proud to be a Jew. Certainly a guy feels a little bit certain feeling of the fact that we're oppressed is like a can't have takes away from your national pride a little bit. I mean, of course, you know, there's a lot to be proud of, but in certain regards you can't deny the fact that you're not that a Jew doesn't enjoy a certain respect, right? And that's going to be reversed. Is that the fourth one?
Yeah.
Right. And that we're going to be the ones who are living the good life. We're going to be living the life of the powerful nation. Right? It's a whole nationalistic thing.
And they're going to be like
and
we are now.
Though, and our enemies, are we're going to be ruling them. They're going to be water bearers and wood carriers. Right? I mean, that's a very, very prominent... that's probably the most... I've heard that countless times. In time of Mashiach, all of the goyim are going to serve us. We're just going to sit there on the chairs, and every guy that we just pick a guy, you say, you, bring us this, and he's going to have to jump. Right? I mean, it's a good comfort. It's a comforting thing. It helps a person get through his national inferiority, his feeling of a national inferiority, to think, yeah, but one day, you are going to be serving me. Right?
We almost have that with some of the Pesach programs in Florida. We're
very close. Okay, that's...
And you don't need miracles in order to have these satisfactions.
Miracles
so that's
not important. Yeah. So, now the third guy, I would say, it would seem to me the third guy is a guy probably who has wealth. Okay, so what's he going to look for now? What is he missing? What's he going to look for? He has the wealth. He's not going to fantasize that Gan Eden is wealth and pleasures. He has all of that. But he's lacking he senses he's lacking something in his life. He doesn't know what it is, but he thinks it will be supplied by what?
His family and eternal life.
By a good family experience, like his happy moments. He recognizes that his happy moments were with people that he enjoyed. But probably he thinks the people that died were really the good people. His grandfather always liked him, and if he could get those people back, his bubby and his Zadie, if he could get them back, everything would be happy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That type of a thing. That's my approach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
You're just taking all the things that they want and saying that must have been the thing that was frustrated in their life.
Exactly. You got my trick. So I'm saying it's going to be different. That if the guy was a poor guy and he never had the pleasures, his fantasy is, and he was oppressed, his fantasy is the pleasures. It's like the Eved that's now going to be the Melech. So part of it is making that Melech suffer. Okay, your question is a good question. I don't think he could allow the Russia into Gan Eden. He can't allow. Your question is why can't he have people serving him? See, that's the fourth guy. He'll have a reversal of the whole social order, and the Goyim will serve the Jews. But that's because the world would be the same. But if you're in Gan Eden already, I don't think you're going to let the guy that you don't like into Gan Eden. It's not like there's no second-class citizenry in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is all the tops. You don't need the riffraff there. You don't need that guy there anymore. It takes away from the fantasy of the Gan Eden. So he'll have another place, but he'll just suffer. He can't even be there.
But the greatest satisfaction in terms of revenge is that you're the one who got the guy back. Not just like it. It's not just he got.
You got to balance these things out. You know, you got to balance these things out. Maybe each guy gets a personal note. Why am I in Gannon? Josh Licht sent you here. yeah. So now, what's the second? We did one and four.
We did 1, 3, and 4.
We did 1, 3, and 4, right? I don't really know what the second one is. I don't know. But anyway, one second. So the first one has a punishment, and the fourth one has a punishment, right? The third one, he doesn't have a punishment because he's not an oppressed guy, right? He doesn't have anybody he's looking to get even with, okay? He just is missing something. So he has the wealth, he has the goods, and he's missing something, so he's looking for that. So that's why he doesn't need to take revenge on anybody. But what about the second one?
You said one was a national. It seems like the second one's just the human condition in general. aspects.
You mean that the whole world doesn't talk about what happens to the Gaim. It's not part of his thing.
It's that it's been you bnei Adam kulam lachin tami, like everybody.
He's like a liberal.
The second one almost seems like a Superman type of.
Right, but the frustrations of the human condition,
you got your
the fact that we're
clothes popping
to,
out, and, yeah.
Right, the fact that man is subject to certain.
I mean, it's the hardship of.
Yeah, you looking for Sam? It's just short guys.
The person recognizes that man by nature is subject to certain restrictions.
Right, the whole world would be one harmonious. I mean, like the whole world would be one harmonious place.
This is the supernatural one, right? That's the second one, right?
Giants.
Seems like all the restrictions of man are
right.
Removed. He looks at man and says, "In this state, we're restricted. We can't fly. We can't
right.
make bread.
Right.
You know, now it's all those restrictions of this bread on trees."
Why does the Mashiach have to be such a central part of this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they have to find some way to latch onto. It's hard to know if it's because they're latching on to the Mashiach as ushering in a new thing. I mean, otherwise, what is it going to be?
But then that carries with all the other goodies.
Yeah. I mean, they're looking at the Mashiach. It's true. I mean, you're right. I mean, why do they have to have this idea that the Mashiach is an eternal figure?
I mean, in order to fully escape from being bound by these human limitations, you have to knock out God, and have. And that's why you have your Mashiach.
I mean, that's why you want to say they transfer onto God, like.
Right.
They transfer. Is he like sort of alluding to like a Christian type of thing? Because that is sort of, I mean, they do make that their second coming, right?
Right.
And then Jesus is going to come back, and because that's the kasha, that was the one problem with their theory that he was the Mashiach, that nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, it says the other the other Gersh was Yichya La'ad Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach.
That's a big difference.
It's a big difference, yeah. That's why I mean, the original one seems to be smooth with what, at least what I was saying before, of just triumph of man. That God makes it so man is permanent.
Also with the old Gersa, the footnote 9, or the other Gersa,
Malachim
Kulam, Chayim Chayim Lad.
Right.
That fits in with your.
Right.
That makes more. I don't know what Malachim means. I don't know what that means.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Right, you have your Mashiach.
B'nei Adam Kulam Malachim Tamid? What does that mean? They're going to be kings forever? Everybody's going to be king forever?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You know what that means?
I don't know.
I know what that means.
It's just like, I think it's just a triumph.
At least in Malachim, it's... I understand what that means.
Yeah.
Be like an angel. Okay. Maybe it doesn't work in with the rest of the thing. I don't know. I don't know. The second one is confusing me. How does he work in the second one when he puts it in all five, when he puts the fifth one, everyone together? Which element of the second one? So the second one gets the element of Mashiach. That's all it is. He seems to say that Mashiach is a primary thing. That group, Mashiach is the primary thing.
Sorry.
That figure, they focused on that figure. That's an alluring thing to them.
But I mean, yeah.
Now they're gonna build it up around him, but.
Why does he have to bring these five like distinct categories? Like, what does it matter the distinctions between them? Why can't he just bring like, here are all these ideas of reward, here are all these ideas of punishment, like.
It's a good question. Why does he go through commonly held?
Why is it
opinions?
Such a big like, importance to show that the first idea is this?
Right.
It makes
a lot of sense
question.
Before you go through.
Well, let's see if we can finish. Let's do this last paragraph.
You can show that it's the result of a certain personality type, though. That is a benefit.
Right.
Like, in other words, you have a better understanding of this type of source.
Let's go for it. Let's do the last paragraph.
V'ha'nakuda hazu ha'mufla'a, klamar ha'olam haba, harin ma'at hu shetim tami sha'ala al dato b'chla'a.
So he's saying all of these people talking about these things. They all talk about these things. About Mashiach, Gan Eden. But this astounding point... the astounding point, meaning to say, Ha'olam Haba, okay, which to him means what? We'll see. That's a whole controversy. right? What does the words Olam Haba refer to? Mm. But he means, Ram takes it to mean the Olam HaNeshamos, right? So he says that very few discuss. That very few even think about it.
It doesn't even
enter their minds, or they don't even think about it, if it does enter their minds, right? Mm-hmm. And if they do think about it a little bit, they don't really go into it in any depth.
Right.
Okay.
That's a funny one.
They don't ask. Ma'atu shetimotzi misha Allah al daito b'chlal. Oh,
they don't do these things, right?
Oh, shesbani oh, sheshal al elu hashemos al mahim ne'amar. In other words, they see these things in Chazal that mention different things. Moshe Mashiach, Olam Haba. They're not concerned with what these things refer to.
Ha'im ze hu atachlis al achas me'elu ha'ashkavos ha'kodmos shi atachlis.
They're not concerned with asking about Olam Haba. Is that the purpose? Or is one of these other philosophies, one of these other outlooks, the purpose? They completely ignore references to Olam Haba. They're totally focused on these areas. They don't even think about it, talk about it, ask about it, try to figure out where it is, where does it fit into these other things. Apparently, the group that has Gan Eden, he'll work out Tchias Amazim. He'll still talk about Tchias Amazim, right? The Mashiach guys are not going to ignore what the brachos and the klolos are in the Torah. And, but everybody Haba, completely Haba, ignores Olam Haba.
V'yavdil bein hatachlis or bein hasiba hamavia el hatachlis.
And they don't differentiate between the purpose and the cause that brings you to the purpose. Okay. They don't differentiate between what is a purpose, right, and the thing that brings you to the purpose.
What does that mean?
I mean, I think he's alluding to, like, the broth and the clothes.
Uh-huh.
That's...
just means.
It's not a purpose, but it's a situation that brings you to the real purpose.
Uh-huh.
Meaning like a means.
Right.
No, is they don't figure out in the Torah, there are a lot of things in Chazal, you have to differentiate. What's this, what's that, what's the purpose, which of these things are the real purpose, which of these things are just facilitate the purpose. I mean, they don't have a unified system because they're not thinking in these categorical terms.
Velotim Saklal Mishishoa Alze O Medabrava.
Ah, boy, he really goes over this thing, like, five times, okay.
Ela sholim bnei adam kulam yechidehem v'hamoneihem heach yekumu hamesim arumim olgushim.
This is a big indictment. He's saying,
yeah,
all the people, yechidehem v'hamoneihem. What does he mean? He means yechidehem. He means important people. He means prominent people, right? And hamoneihem means the general people. They are all involved in how will the dead arise. Wearing a naked or wearing clothing?
Ha'im yakum ba'osam ha'begalim atzman v'asher nikbar v'hem v'rikmasam v'kishotahem v'yofi tefirasam v'bilvush ha'machaseh gufo b'vad.
And they wonder, are they going to wear they're going to come back wearing the exact clothing that they were buried in with all the details, or are they just going to get minimal clothing when they come back?
V'kasher yavo ha'mashiach ha'im yashve bein ha'ashir v'ani v'shehev b'yamav ha'chazak v'chalash.
I want to know, and in the time of Mashiach, is he going to even things out between the rich and the poor, or will there be a strength and weakness? Right, they want to know all the details. They want to know all the details. Harbi Mashiach ha'lovu l'itim kurlos. They want to know all the details. All the details of these things. That's what they're focused on. That's where their mind goes. Not into the inyonim. What is this? Is this a tachlis? Is it the end? Is it the mean? What are these things? Their minds are. They get captivated by these ideas, and their imagination starts working on them. What if you got married, remarried to, which wife are you married to when you come? You know what I mean? That's like a common thing also. So that's what they were interested in the Hechi Timsas. What?
You do.
Yeah.
Do they really?
That's what someone told me.
You come back the same age that you died, right? And all these kinds of questions. But he's saying, he's trying to show, I think what he's trying to show is that people think about these areas from a purely emotional, self-serving standpoint. And that's why he's showing you these five different theories. They're totally inconsistent. They're just completely depending on your kat. If you're this kind of a kat, you're going to have this type of a feeling. This kind of a kat, you're going to have that kind of a feeling. And you're going to be interested in these types of questions. He's trying to show you the sources. The fact that you can have such varying things and nobody seems to care about the other guy's thing is because it's just a self-serving idea. Okay? All right. I'll stop you.